Well, hello and good morning, church family. Good to see all of you. Chris was just reading to me the names of some of you that are on, and so I'm thankful for that chance to get to know. It's kind of nice to know like who I'm speaking to, that I'm speaking to anybody besides a camera. And so I just want to say thank you for joining us here today. Thank you for taking time out of your day and being a part of this. And I know some of you will purposefully watch this later on. And that's one of the great joys of this modern technology. And the day that we're living in is that you have the ability to worship with us and join in the sharing of God's word today and, well, forever in the future. So that's pretty cool. I want to say a happy Mother's Day to my mom, Sherry Ebert. She watches faithfully every Sunday, so I imagine she's on. And so happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all that you have done for my family and I throughout the years. I'm so thankful for you, as well as my mother-in-law, Tammy, there in Henry, and just grandparents and all of you moms and mother figures all over the country. You are so valuable. You're valuable to the people around you, families and friends, even folks and kids in the church. Whatever, you have a place in the kingdom and serving the Lord. So I'm thankful for all of you, for all that you do. So may God bless you today. May today be a day when you're honored and lifted up by those around you. And know that from my heart, I love you and you are cherished. So again, may God richly bless each of you women out there today. Thank you again for all that you do. So I want to take a moment and talk about our mission of the month. And we should have done this last week, but this is just such a weird time that we're living in, not getting together. It's hard to keep everything straight. But the point is, each month of the year, we have a mission of the month. And this month is Dan and Sandy Varberg. And they're some of our missionaries that we've supported for a long time. They're serving in the Philippines. And so if you would like to give to them above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. And by the way, thank you and keep up the great work. Y'all are being amazingly faithful as it's more difficult to give right now. I just want to praise you and thank you for that. You're doing great. Keep it up. Know that there's options online and mailing in your checks. You can drop them off. We've had people doing that. So, and then I get to see them and say hello. So anyway, keep that up. But if you want to give to the Varbergs, you can mark your check, Mission of the Month, or online, you can, as you go through the prompts, it'll give you a chance to mark your gift for mission. So know that you can do that. That's kind of the information or the updates or whatever for today. I wanted to make sure and get that in. Please refer to our website, ledgerockchurch.com. Refer to there for more information, updates, and things like that. Know that your leadership and I are also working hard at, boy, all of our ministries, our discipleship process, the vision and mission, lots going on. But we're also looking at strategies for when we do get back together in person. And we don't have perfect answers, but know that we are thinking about it, we're praying about it, and we are following our denomination, Converge, as well as other denominations throughout the country, and following some ideas that they may have as well. So know that as soon as we're able to safely get together, we plan on having a clean and fresh and updated facility ready to go that we can so much gather together in the name of Jesus and have a great and fantastic time of worship. So anyway, things to look forward to. Well, I don't want to take any longer than I have to today. I want you guys to hopefully get outside and enjoy creation, have a great time with your mothers. So I in this series on recipe for remembering and results and recipe for results that remain. And I'm working on a couple of messages about relationships. I think that relationships are obviously very, very important in our lives, in our culture. But today is about a recipe for rest. Now, as I was working on my message for a recipe for relationships, I guess the Lord just kind of stopped me, and he laid this passage on my heart, and I'm going to preach on this passage about rest. And apparently it was needed, and I believe it was most likely needed in my life, but maybe it's needed in your life as well. So that's just a kind of a quick update on where we're at and why we're here and what we're doing. But as I was thinking about rest and burdens and loads that we carry, I remembered back to my very first canoe that I ever bought. And I was 19 years old. I'd wanted a canoe all my life. And I was driving through a little town called Bartonville, not far from where I grew up. And there was this old fiberglass canoe in somebody's front yard. And I remember a plywood sign with numbers painted on it. I don't remember what I paid, but it seemed like around $150 or so, I don't know. But I bought my first canoe, and I don't know the brand or the model or the length. It was a canoe. In fact, back then I didn't know there was a difference in canoes. I just thought a canoe was a canoe. Anyhow, it was fiberglass, and let me tell you, it wasn't exactly a work of art. This thing was fairly beat up, kind of old, sun damaged. It was a weird yellow color, kind of a cream almost, I don't know, again, faded. And so I bought this canoe, very excited, loaded it up on my Blazer, and I took it home. And I remember looking at it through the light, and or in the light, and you could see through parts of it. You could see light through the bow and stern. There was places that were rubbed a little bit thin. So I thought, well, I'm going to paint this thing. And while I'm at it, I might as well put some fiberglass on there and some Bondo and shore up these weaker areas. And so I did that, fixed it up and cleaned it up, and then I painted it. The moral of that whole story is I had a olive drab canoe, looked better, but it was heavy. I'm talking, I don't know what it weighed, but we're in the neighborhood of 100 pounds. This thing was a beast. Thankfully, I was working for Dad, Chris Ebert Company, well drilling, like strong, lots of hard work. So it wasn't that big of a deal for me to load this canoe up, but I had a tall Blazer. It was an old Chevy Blazer lifted up with big tires on it. And it was a chore for me to get this canoe up on the top of my Blazer. And I could remember almost dropping it lots of times. But I had a canoe. It was neat, and it didn't bother me too much. Now, there was a guy I knew, became friends with, named Ron, that had a canoe shop not far from where I lived. And I would call Ron all the time, and I wanted to know if he had used canoes for sale. And he would always shake his head and say, no, I don't, but you know, I've got this one. And I would say, well, how much is it? And he'd say, well, that one's $2,200 or $1,800 or $2,500 or whatever. And I'm a 19-year-old kid, there's no way. And I began to understand that Kevlar was a great material to make canoes out of. Ron would say as he got older and wiser, he liked lighter boats, and it would help him to get out and use them more often. But then the dollar figure that was attached to those, it was crazy and unobtainable. Some of us in life carry burdens like a heavy fiberglass canoe. We carry them around more than we have to, more than we should, when we should be switching to something like a Kevlar boat. Some of us carry heavy loads throughout our week, throughout our life, or at least a season of our life, and we sure don't have to. Jesus was aware of our tendency to carry more than we were designed to carry more than we ever should. Jesus was aware that sometimes in life we get burdened and bogged down. And so he gave us a recipe for rest amongst our busy, heavy laden, sometimes burdened lives. And so today we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 11 in the last three verses, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11. I hope you've got a copy of God's Word there with you. It's more difficult when you're on technology because you can't use the same technology. So either use your phone or an actual, like, legit paper Bible. I wish I could read those still. I love to hold a Bible in my hand, but my vision doesn't allow me. So I'm thankful for technology and things like my tablet, as it gives me such good contrast and enlarged font. So hopefully you found Matthew chapter 11. That's the one that's immediately following Matthew chapter 10. You're never going to get tired of hearing me share that one with you. So I'm going to set the stage and talk about this more in a couple of moments. But real quickly, let me just set this stage, and I'm going to talk about this a couple of times. This passage, Jesus is talking to people that were burdened from religious activities, trying to hopefully do enough work, keep the law, follow all the different rules and regulations, rituals and religion to maybe possibly make God happy. And they were overburdened. Now, that's the context for this passage. I'm going to look at it in a little bit different light because I believe it still applies to us today when we may not be burdened by trying to keep the law. So know that as I get into this passage. All right, Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Jesus is speaking and he says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day and the day that we can gather online all across the country and celebrate you and your majesty, for the fact that we can share in your word and the preaching of it. Boy, in this format, I'm sad we can't get together, but I'm thankful get together in person, but I'm thankful that we can still connect like this. So Lord, we lift this day up to you. We lift this passage up to you, and I pray that you will take it, your word, your message, and preach it through me this morning, boldly and clearly. Father, I truly ask that you open up my heart and mind, all of our hearts and minds, that we can hear your word and apply your word to our lives, and then be better servants for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, the deal, well, fiberglass is heavy. Kevlar is light. We love Jerry Vandiver. Look him up. Google Jerry Vandiver. He's a songwriter and he writes a ton of songs about canoes and canoe camping and things like that, the outdoors. And one of his songs is called "Kevlar is Light," and it's funny. It's great. And boy, is it. Kevlar is light. Once you've picked up and messed with a Kevlar boat, to go back to something like a heavy old fiberglass canoe, it's shocking the difference between the two. There's a huge difference in price. There's a difference in the way they paddle and all of those things as well. But primarily, just simply the sheer weight, the sheer mass of the two different ends of the spectrum is shocking. And now they're making carbon fiber boats that are unbelievably stiff and rigid, fast and very, very light, very, very expensive. And don't bang a rock with them or you're gonna crack them or break them. But in canoeing, and especially canoe camping, when you're portaging from one lake over to the next lake, when you're doing things like that, whether it's backpacking or whether it's life, heavy is difficult. Heavy is tougher. Heavy is more dangerous. When you're walking and carrying a heavy load, your everything is in more danger. Rocks and roots and mud and slippery places. Boy, you fall under a heavy load and you're going to get hurt. It's slower and just more painful. Ultralight, however, is very, very different. Ultralight is so much safer. You go with a light load, especially compared to a heavy one, it's so much safer on your whole body. You can not go down as easy. And if you do, you're going to bounce right back up. It's faster. It's much more fun to go about outdoor activities in an ultralight manner versus a heavy manner. Jesus knew that. He knew that you and I sometimes were guilty of living life with a heavy load on our backs, with a burden on our shoulders. And he knew that you and I, we need a recipe to help us to get some rest, to take off that heavy load and give it up to him and just feel rest. And so the first recipe in today's, the first ingredient in today's recipe is explained in verse 28. But I want to take another moment and explain kind of the context and the setting that was going on here. This was fairly early in Jesus's ministry. He had had his disciples. He was training them up. Crowds of people were following Jesus. He was sending out his disciples to go out in pairs, by the way, in a relational way, to help protect and support and encourage each other. But anyway, he was sending them out. People were flocking to find out who this Jesus was and what he was all about. Now, at this point in history, it had been 400 years since God had sent a prophet to his people. And so the people had taken God's rules and regulations, all the stuff from the Old Testament, and they had magnified them. They had multiplied them and compounded those things. And the religious leaders of the day thought, well, if some laws are good, then lots of laws must be better. And so they had taken ritualistic and religious activities and just made it so complicated and confusing that people were overloaded with acts and service and trying to keep the law, that they felt overloaded and burdened with religion without any end in sight. No hope for sure. And so that's what was happening when Jesus spoke these words to these people. Again, religious folks of the day, overloaded. And so know that in this context on who Jesus was speaking to. And that would be a whole entirely different message on how Jesus changed everything. We're not under that law anymore, and no amount of religious activities can ever make our God happy. The only way is simply through the blood, the life, death, sacrifice, and resurrection of Jesus. So know that this passage of scripture applied to folks that were overloaded with religion, but I believe with all my heart, in fact, I know that it's true, that this passage also speaks to you and I today in our general lives, as we maybe take on more than we should or worry about more than we ought to. And in all of that, Jesus gives us the same promise. So I believe it applies both ways. All right, let's look at the first ingredient in the recipe today. In verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." They were burdened with religion. You and I can be burdened possibly with some religion. Maybe you're out there today and you're trying to make God happy with being a better person or whatever. Maybe that's you. But I believe, and this message will speak to you as well, but I believe there are lots of us, in fact, every one of us that takes on too much in our life and we allow too much of a burden to weigh us down and slow us down. Maybe it's sin or religion or just life in general. Maybe you're dealing with difficult family members. Maybe it's Mother's Day and you're at home and your kids are absolutely just driving you crazy. It's more than you can handle. And we're sheltering in place. We're stuck at home and kids are schooling at home. And it just seems like it's crazy and stressful. Maybe today you can get some comfort and get some encouragement from God's word, because I believe all of us, we take on way too much, and that many of us are weary. We're weary and tired and stressed, and just the busyness of life has weighed us down, like portaging this a heavy old fiberglass canoe and we've got it up on our shoulders and carrying it across the portage, but we never get to the other end. We're just carrying this weight farther and farther. This heavy load is just weighing us down. And so if that's you, if you feel like you maybe have a little more stress or busyness in your life than you ought to, this is the ingredient, the recipe for finding some rest. And it's found in Jesus and Jesus alone. I love the words he uses here at the beginning. It's just this warm invitation to you and I that might be burdened and overloaded. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So we got to know, in order to find rest in Jesus, we have to come to him. And so what's it look like to come to Jesus? Well, it's a huge decision that you and I have to make. Everybody that's ever been born has to face the reality of Jesus and then decide in your own life, personally, if you're going to accept his invitation of salvation, his invitation of new life in and through him. It's a huge decision. It's a monumental, life-changing decision to come to Jesus. And if you do, if you and I do, when we do, when we give our lives over, repent of our sin, turn to and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for our salvation, it's like we are taking off that heavy load that we've been carrying, taking off that burden and laying it down at Jesus's feet. Now, I'm afraid that as we then continue down the life and path of being a disciple of Jesus, we tend to pick up those loads again. I know in my life, I feel like I'm doing God a favor by lightening his load and taking some of that on my own self. Like I can worry my way through some situations. I don't know about you, but that's what happens in my life. And so as born again believers and followers of Jesus, we have to come to him and then lay those things down simply by trusting in Jesus, turning to and trusting in Jesus. And I think that some of us feel like we're more comfortable with that heavy load on our shoulders, like we're doing God a favor. Maybe we have this semblance of control and we feel like keeping a hold of, taking on more can drown out some of the pain or difficulties in our lives. We try to cover it up with busyness and stress and worry. And so I think that some of us feel like it's more comfortable just to own those things. It's scary, the thought of letting those down. And Jesus says that if you will trust him, if you will turn to him, he promises that it's worth it because he will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The first ingredient in this recipe is simply to come to Jesus, to truly give your life to him as Lord and Savior. Come to him by faith, and he will give us rest. The second ingredient is spelled out in verse 29. And he says, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. One of my favorite activities is to watch YouTube. It's amazing what's available on YouTube these days. If you want to know anything about any subject or whatever, you can just simply look it up on YouTube and find scores and scores of videos with some terrible information, but lots of really good information. There are experts in fields that put out videos that give unbelievable information, great advice, and it's amazing to simply click a few buttons and get lots of advice and opinions, especially in the outdoor world. You want to know about spring walleye fishing? What are the best lures and tactics? And depending on the conditions, where should you look for fish or whatever? Just Google spring walleye, early spring walleye, and see what pops up. It's truly amazing the day that we live in, how you can get some great advice and learn from some experts. Learn a lot. Now, Jesus came for many reasons, but two of the primary reasons, the number one reason was Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for our sins. Jesus specifically came to live a sinless, perfect life, to willingly go to the cross, to give his life on that cross, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, to be resurrected, conquering sin and death and hell forever, that anyone that puts our faith and trust in him can be changed and made new from the inside out. That's the primary reason that Jesus came. But he also came to be an example for us to follow. It's what a disciple is a follower of, and in our case, that's a follower of Jesus. And he came to live a life as an example for us to know how it is that we are to live, and then learn from him, look to and learn from him. He says that if you will, if you'll come to him, follow him, learn from him, that you can lay down those heavy loads, those heavy burdens. He says specifically, take up my yoke and learn from me. And Jesus is using an analogy, a picture, an agricultural picture that would be very pertinent to them. Maybe you and I have never seen an actual yoke. Maybe you've seen it in Little House on the Prairie or some old shows or whatever where they showed some livestock. But what I know of a yoke is that it was basically a wooden beam, and typically some oxen or some draft horses or mules or whatever would be placed in this yoke, and the pair, two of them, would then be able to share the work and share the load. And it's interesting, that word yoke, as we look at canoes and canoeing. I've got a yoke right here, and this is a portable yoke for a solo canoe. And you can see I've put some pads on there that make it easier to make it more gentle on your shoulders. But if you look this way, there's a yoke. That's a yoke that is used for carrying a canoe. It goes across your shoulder like this, and then you've got this load up on top, and you're yoked in with the load, carrying it around. Well, that's not quite like the yoke that Jesus was talking about, because the yoke that he was talking about is made for two animals. And it's an amazing thing that happens when you put two animals together in there. One and the other share the load. And it's pretty cool. Jesus, in saying take up his yoke, is saying that if you or I, when we take up his yoke, we are not excused from work. We're not excused from burdens and sometimes stress and busyness or heavy loads. However, if we're yoked with him, he will do the work, and we get the benefit of coming along with him together. Again, it doesn't mean coming to Jesus doesn't mean there's not going to be pain and problems and trials and tribulations. It means that we don't have to go through it alone. And if we yoke up with him, it's suddenly easier and better. We allow Jesus to do it for us, in us, and through us. When we get in the harness, get in that yoke with him, now connected with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, connect to and learn and follow from him in his example. And let me tell you, God himself left heaven and came to earth, born of a virgin. And Jesus is God incarnate, God with us, fully God and fully man. And yet he says to learn from him because he is lowly and humble in heart. Wow. What an example for us to follow. What if you and I lived our lives lowly and humble in heart? Maybe suddenly, if we put other people, if we put each other ahead of our own desires, if we were lowly and humble in every area of our life, do you think that alone might relieve some of our stress, some of our worry, if we were just simply more concerned about each other, Jesus was meek, and he said meek will be greatly blessed and inherit the kingdom of God and all the Beatitudes. It's all about meekness, and meekness isn't weakness. It's strength under control. Jesus said that if you want to be first in heaven, you need to be last here on this earth as you and I put each other's needs ahead of our own. It changes our heart and our way of thinking. We suddenly start thinking like God, thinking like Jesus, and it changes our whole attitude and outlook on everything. And Jesus says, take up my yoke, come along with me, allow me to do it for you. Just be a part of me and learn from me because I'm lowly and humble in heart. Wow, that's crazy to even think about that, to think about what it's like to be lowly and humble. But you and I could benefit so much from that truth, from that reality. And he says, well, he says, learn from me and follow after me. You and I, how do we do that? You and I have to daily choose what voice we're going to listen to and who we're going to give control of our life to in each and every situation. And I know it's easier for some situations than others. Sometimes we have to hourly, even minute by minute, choose. You know what? Lord, this is more than I can bear. I feel like this is more than I am supposed to handle. And so I'm going to give it up to you. And I'm going to trust you to handle it for me. And I'm not going to worry about it or take it on myself any longer. That's an act that happens through prayer. It happens through our connection with and our relationship with the Lord. The more connected, the closer you are, the easier that is. So no matter where you're at today in your walk, you can get more and more connected, more yoked with the Lord as you cry out to Him and just simply give it over and give it to Him daily, hourly, choosing what voice you're going to listen to and how much you're going to take on yourself. Do it on your own or trust in Jesus to do it for you. By the way, who is this like rest? Who's this available to? Look back at verse 28 at the very beginning. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus is for everybody. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be white. You don't have to live in Ely or have a big bank account. Jesus is for everyone. Poor, black, white, red. It doesn't matter where you came from or where you're at. Jesus cries out and pleads with anybody, anyone, to come to Him. If you're burdened by your sin, if you're burdened by your life, He's available for all to turn to and trust and repent and give up to Him. Look at verse 30 as we wrap up this whole recipe for rest. And He explains what it's like to come along with Him. Verse 30, He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus knew full well, being human and knowing you and I before we were ever born, He knew full well that we have a tendency to carry our own loads. He knew full well that we sometimes think that busy is better and stress is normal. He knew full well that we would be burdened in life and need help. He knew full well that He could offer something for us that we could never, ever do or accomplish on our own. And here He describes what life with Him is like. He describes it as easy and restful, that there is an end to that long portage with the heavy load, and He is waiting there to take off that heavy pack, that heavy canoe, that heavy burden. He is waiting there, and He is better than Kevlar. He is better than carbon fiber. He is better than any ultralight, anything that we could ever do, because it's even lighter than that. Even lighter than that is Jesus. if we step into life with Him, if we lay down those heavy things, those heavy loads, that heavy burden, life is hard enough on its own. We are not promised an easy life. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. All around us are pain and problems, trials and tribulations. We're seeing the result of sin, death, and calamity, diseases, famine, all around us. We see it. We're not promised an easy life right now, but we're promised that if we will turn to and trust in Jesus, that it can be so much easier. And if we are faithful, if we love Him and love others, if we allow Him to, we're promised an incredible eternity that will be more spectacular and more glorious than we could ever imagine. Life is hard enough. There are burdens around any corner. There is busyness and stress and simply tired. There's an answer to this problem. There's a recipe for rest. And here it is spelled out in Matthew chapter 11, the words of Jesus Himself telling you and I that we aren't designed to carry those loads, and that if we will let Him, He will do it for us no matter where you're at today. Let me challenge you and encourage you. Trust in Jesus to a whole new level. Turn to Him in a way that maybe you have never, ever done before. Lay those burdens down at His feet. Take up His yoke, because in it you will find rest for your soul. Remember, our heart is at the center of our being. Our soul is eternal, and Jesus promises us a rest that goes far beyond our understanding, far beyond what we can ever explain. It's a rest from the inside out, a rest for our eternal souls. Do it. Take this recipe and apply it to your life. When we hang up here today, when we disconnect and unplug here today, talk about it with your family. What's it going to be like to do this in your own life, and then help and encourage each other, challenge each other to do it and live it this way? It is worth it. Jesus is worth it. He is fantastic. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word, for the chance to understand more clearly what it's like to give ourselves wholly and completely over to You, and allow You to do for us the things that we could never do on our own. So Lord, I thank You and praise You for this word, and I want to pray for everybody that's watching today and forever in the future, that You will help each of us to better understand and apply this truth to our lives, that we can be more rested and then more able to love You and love others. Father, we praise You and thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your encouragement to each other, to myself and my family throughout these difficult weeks and times. Hopefully this is coming to an end, whatever, we don't know. Hopefully we can get together soon. I love you. I miss you. I cannot wait to get back together, to go into the sanctuary and have real, like, regular worship and get some hugs and all that, all the things that I miss. Again, just stay close to the Lord, stay close to each other, keep the faith, keep up the good work, and may God richly bless you, especially you moms today. Happy Mother's Day. Take care, and God bless.